you, Ms. Blair. All right. This morning, I hope you got your Bibles. How many of you brought a Bible with you this morning? About if you hold it up. I just wanted to check on you. Make sure. Amen. All right. I sure appreciate you coming today and bringing the book with you. Every Sunday, somebody preaches out of it here. Amen. And if you come during the week, you find out they preach out of it too some of the week. Amen. And here. And so it is a blessing. I missed this card earlier. Let me just say thank you for Miss Cindy Bradford and her family as she just, Brother Harold and the funeral that was done there. She just wanted to say thank you for the church and the blessing. So many of you drove over for the graveside. I appreciate you being there for that. And thankful for our church family. Thankful that as brothers and sisters in Christ, we gather together. And I know sometimes that the east side don't know the west side, but we pray for each other. And sometimes we show up for each other because we love each other. And let me just say this is one of the things that I love and helped me throughout the years is the Sword of the Lord. Long before I came to Bible college here, I read the paper, The Sword of the Lord, and it was shipped into Maryland. And God called somebody that's not from Maryland necessarily. I don't think he wants to be claimed that way, but he was pastoring there. Amen. He came to help the people there in Maryland. And so let me just say that the Sword of the Lord paper, we always have a bundle in the back, but I get it delivered to my house because I don't want to forget to pick it up in the back. And I want to have access to it as soon as it comes out. So they mail it to my house. And you can get that mailed to your house as well. And I'm sure he's going to tell you how you can do that and things. But I just want to make sure that Dr. Shelton Smith, there have been several editors of the newspaper, and every one of them men are great men and gone on to heaven, several of them before him. But this is one of the most fundamental men. And if I had to say, even out of the men that he preceded, this is one of the men that's the most fundamental man that's ever led the Sword of the Lord, Bible-believing, preaching man. And so, so one of the reasons we have him today is because we need good men like this, and we need a paper like the Sword of the Lord out there where we can, again, see what's going on. He keeps up not just with preaching. You think, oh, it's just a preaching paper. No, he gives you news of the day and doesn't give it to you slanted. He gives it to you straight. Dr. Smith, you come. We appreciate you coming, my brother. Thank you, Pastor.
Thank you so very, very much. My joy and delight to be back at Landmark. I always enjoy coming. I had a big time yesterday with the senior Patriots. I mean, they did a whole bunch of stuff, and they finally gave me the microphone, and I kind of ran a little bit and did some things with them. But we had a good time, and enjoyed that so very, very much. And I'm going to be looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I know it's not Resurrection Sunday yet, and I'm not going to steal Brother Parson's thunder from there. But I do want to kind of camp out in that chapter here momentarily. And while I'm kind of getting headed here, let me just simply say to you as well, I am absolutely thrilled, and very frankly, I'm not surprised. I am not surprised, but I am thrilled at the testimony of these two men, Brother Carter and Brother Parsons, to see how they have handled all of this transition. They worked together before, they're working together now, and I'm telling you, that's sweet and that's special. It's a tribute to the character, the godliness of both of them. I had the privilege to be pastor, as Brother Parsons said, a long time in Maryland before I went to the Sword 28 years ago this month. But I was in Maryland a long time as pastor, and the Lord blessed in a great way. And when I left to come to the Sword, Dr. Norris Belcher became the pastor. And here after all of these years, he and I are as close and love one another like two brothers. In fact, I'm scheduled to preach for him again in August this year. Will be the 35th time he's had me back in 27 years. And you know what he and I have told one another, Dr. Carter? We've told one another over and over again, just every once in a while, a couple of guys just ought to really demonstrate what Christians do. And you guys are doing it and doing it well. And I could not help but take a minute to commend both of them. Thank God for them. I know them both, and I know they're godly men. And I know that you're proud of them as well and thankful for them. I do have a table of books back there and some good stuff. We don't publish junk, only good stuff. And you'll like some of what you find back there. $10 per book or 3 for $20. special landmark blue light special. And if you want to get the paper, like Pastor said, if you want to get it delivered to your house, $20 in the envelope, and we'll send it to you all year long. You get 24 issues, two a month, and it'll be loaded up with more things than you'll get read, but a lot of good stuff in every issue of the paper. And we've given them out already, but there's some still back there if you didn't get one. All right, let's look at 1 Corinthians 15. Right at the end of the chapter, near the end, at verse 57. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57. And it reads like this: "But thanks be to God." And I pause there on purpose. If I did nothing else but stand here for the next few minutes and just recite things for which I personally have a lot of reason to be thankful, I think I could take up the whole half hour. But this passage says pointedly, "Thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, notice carefully what it says. The victory that we have, we know from studying other places in the Bible, it's victory over sin, victory over the flesh, victory over the devil. I mean, we are given a victory. It's not something you inherit because you live in Florida. It's not something you get because you're a member at Landmark. But it comes through the Lord Jesus Christ as a gift from Him. Salvation, every time, all the time, is a gift from God. Now, the next verse says, "Therefore." So because we have the victory, He's going to give us a little clue here about how to live the victory. And He says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren," and let me pause again. You realize He's writing this to that Corinthian church? They were not a real good church. They had a mess on their hands, and yet he calls them brethren and beloved brethren. So first time somebody at Landmark misbehaves, my suggestion is don't throw them under one of the buses out here. You know? Now, we don't want any of you to misbehave, but if somebody did, we still count them brethren, and we're still going to love on them. We may have to deal with them like He dealt with them. We may have to be firm with them, but we're going to do it in a loving way. And so He says, "Therefore, based on the fact the Lord has given us the victory we have through Christ, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord." That means showing up on Sunday, among other things. "Knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Now, let me back up just a little bit and give you what I call a profile of a good, solid Christian. Every born-again child of God is still a sinner. We're saved sinners. So that's two things. We are sinners by nature. But at the same time, when we come to Christ, we are saved. And because we are saved, I mean, we're not going to hell now. We're going to go to heaven one day. And He designates, the Lord designates us as saints. Now, I know there's some folks who talk about, well, a saint's got to be this, that, and the other, and they have a big decree that they issue and say that person is now a saint. That's all a bunch of stuff. I use a theological term to describe it: hogwash. All right? Now, God declares everyone that's born in the family of God is a saint. Now, He would like it if we would be saintly along the way. But we are declared a saint. And by the way, I'm talking about a profile now here of a Christian. We're also secure. We are secure. The salvation we get is an everlasting salvation. I mean, He takes us into the family, births us in when we come to Christ, and we are secure. I mean, we got family membership from now on. Secure. I was reading this morning the book of Philippians early, And that early part of chapter 1 says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day. So we can have confident assurance. So we are a sinner, we're saved, we're a saint, we're secure. And he also sanctifies us positionally and progressively. So, you know, he is going to work on us. We teach the kids to sing that song, you know, God's still working on me. Well, he ought to still be working on us because we all need that. But thankfully, little by little, step by step, day by day, we're getting loose from the darkness. We're getting loose from the world, getting control of the flesh, and getting more and more like what the Lord would have us to be. And not only that, but he declares us to be a servant. He wants us to be a seed sower, a soul winner. And I think we ought to be a songster as well. Also, I read in Philippians this morning, rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice. So you and I ought to have a song that we sing. We ought to be a happy crowd. I mean, when you realize you're not going to hell, you ought to be pretty happy about that. You realize you got a home in heaven. I mean, that ought to get a hallelujah out of you once in a while. Amen. Now, that profile reminds me of some things. Many years ago when I was younger, when I was a young man, young preacher, I heard somebody say you ought to have a life verse. I didn't know what they were talking about at the outset, but then I found out they said, find a verse you can just lock into and let that be the thing that compels you. Well, I found one way over in 2 Chronicles, and I'm guessing you don't have it underlined in your Bible, but maybe you should. It's chapter 26, 2 Chronicles, the second part of verse 5, that says, as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. Talking about a young 16-year-old king. As long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. For years and years, when I signed my name, I signed it with 2 Chronicles 26, 5. Now, I never expected that to impact my pocketbook. I didn't take the prosperity that way. I just assumed that what he was saying was, if I'd walk with the Lord, he'd walk with me. If I would do the Lord's bidding, he would take care of me. And that was my life verse. And then a few years passed, and I fell under the influence of the founder of the Sword of the Lord, Dr. John Rice. And even though I'd read the Bible through, he introduced me. I mean, he impacted me with a verse in Psalm 126. And so I took on another life verse. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. And Dr. John read that and taught that and preached that and encouraged that we get out and sow the seed and tell other people about the Savior. And I said, you know, and I was already a soul winner at that point, but at the same time, I was saying, man, that ought to be my life verse. And so I kind of switched and started signing my name with Psalm 126:6. And I've let that be a life verse. I didn't give the other one away. I got two of them. And about 10 or 12 years ago, I tacked on a third one. I said, you know, I'm getting a little older now. And sometimes, you know, when folks get a little older, they kind of let up. And I took this 58th verse as my third one. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast. You look up that word, look up the root of it, and it has to do with getting yourself seated right, getting positioned right. Get yourself nailed down on who you are. And then be unmovable. That means some ill wind blows through your life. Don't let it shake you. You know, I've noticed 34 years that I spent as a pastor, I noticed that a lot of the folks who got sideways and got off track didn't take a tornadic wind to do it. Many cases, it's just somebody with bad breath blowing on them a little bit. And they get blown off course. And this verse says, be steadfast and be unmovable. Don't let any devil push you out of the will of God. Don't let some ill circumstance drive you into bitterness. And then he says, be always abounding. I think that just means be stirred up. In fact, again, if you think the fact you're not going to hell, you're going to heaven, you're born again. I mean, that ought to keep you stirred a little bit if you just rehearse that real often. So I've wound up with three life verses. 2 Chronicles 26:5, Psalm 126:6, and 1 Corinthians 15:58. And those things are things that have helped me to do what I'm calling living the victory. God gave me victory. Now I want to live that. When I was 39, I wanted to live it. 49, 59, and beyond. I want to. You say, how old are you? None of your business. But anyway, I'm not too far behind Dr. Carter. But anyway, here we are just walking the walk. I mean, we're living in a world of darkness. And yet we need to maintain a light, like a flame that's burning deep inside of us that gives light everywhere we go. You know, I tell people all the time, I'm a missionary to McDonald's. I go to McDonald's almost every morning of the world. And I'm telling you, when I walk in there, I do not forget that I'm an ambassador. There are people who work in there that I've led to Christ. I've made acquaintance. We have 11 McDonald's in our city of Murfreesboro, 11 inside the city limits. And there's one that I go to that's, I should own stock in, but I don't. But I've met, I don't know, 40, 50, 60 Murfreesboro businessmen, kind of gotten to be friends with them. And every time one of them walks in the door, I mean, my soul winning radar is on all the time. Lord's blessed, given me so many victories along the way. But I'm telling you, it's one thing to have the victory. It's another thing to get out there and just live it. Live it, live it. And we can do that. You don't have to be a Superman. You don't have to, you know, be able to stop bullets with your teeth. You don't have to have some supernatural ability like that. But instead, we can, with God's help, live the victory. Now, here's where it all starts. If you look early in this chapter, verses 3 and 4 tells, he said, I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, that he was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Folks, that's where everything begins. You don't begin by getting christened as a baby. That's not where your Christian life begins. You don't begin your Christian life in some confirmation class or some discipleship class. You don't get it because you joined Everett Baptist Church in Florida. You don't get it that way. You get in. You get started. Everything begins. Everything that matters eternally begins by receiving the Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins and to purchase our salvation. And not only that, he was buried and then he arose from the grave and lives eternally so that he can save us. Everything begins with that. Every once in a while, I'll bump into somebody and they'll say, you know, I know I need to be saved and I want to be saved, but I don't want to be a hypocrite and I just don't think I could live it. And every time I have somebody say that to me, I say to them, I said, you know, I understand what you're saying. And I think you have reason to be concerned because I don't think you can live it either. And usually they'll just look at me when I say that. And I'll say, but the same God who will save you, verses 3 and 4, the same God will enable you once you are saved. And verse 10 tells me that. The Apostle Paul in his own testimony said, verse 10, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. Now you remember what his I am used to be? He was Saul of Tarsus. He was a persecutor of the church, a very bad hombre. Until he had that experience with the Lord on the road to Damascus. He came to Christ, he got saved, and the persecutor became a preacher. And a great one. And so here he is now saying, I am what I am by the grace of God. Well, how did he get cleaned up? How did he get straightened up? How did he get his life together? The same grace of God that saved him was also available to him to enable him to live and to demonstrate that he did have the victory. And so I understand the trembling. I understand the hesitation. I understand when you say, well, I know me better than anybody. Well, one little problem with that, God knows you better than you know you. And he's willing to take you like you are. And he knows that he can help to work with you and straighten things up and help you to get things in place. And so everything starts with salvation, and then he applies to us what we need so that we can live. Drop down to verse 19. Point number three, he says, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're of all men most miserable. If the faith that we have in the Lord Jesus is just for this life, I think we have reason to be concerned. But it's for far more than that. Do you realize that the day your body dies, you won't be dead? It'll just be your body that's dead. The real you that lives inside this house of clay, this house of flesh, the real you that lives inside will still be living. The moment this house of clay collapses, every one of us will either be in hell or we'll be in heaven. One or the other. And so, you know, the baseball player Yogi Berra, he's dead now. Yogi had all these yogiisms, and one of his yogiisms about baseball was, it ain't over till it's over. Meaning, if you got one strike left in the ninth inning, I mean, still got hope you can win this game. Well, I got news for Yogi. It ain't over even when it's over. Talking about life. Because there is a morning coming after the life before. And that being the case, our hope that we have is not just for April. It's not just for 2023. It's not just for the decade ahead. But it's for eternity. Now, look at a fourth thing. Verse 34. He says to this carnal church, awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. In our city of Murfreesboro, which is a suburb of Nashville, 165,000 people in Murfreesboro and growing at the rate of 100 people a week. Now, according to the city and the church where I'm a member, we knock doors on Saturday. And the Saturdays that my travel schedule will allow it, I go and knock doors with our church guys. Now, we're knocking on all kinds of doors with people in our city. Now, we're not as far south as you are, but Tennessee is the South. It's supposed to be the Bible Belt. We're knocking on all kinds of doors. I'm meeting people when I knock doors who have no clue about anything related to God. I'm talking about they not only don't know about salvation, a lot of them don't even know about God. And they live here in the USA. And this passage says, some have not the knowledge of God. And then he kind of lays it on them and says, hey, it's your responsibility. So you and I have the responsibility to get the message out, take the word out, get out, get going. And all of us can do it. We can do something. I'm convinced of that. So he tells us to get the job done, and here's why. Look at verse 51 and 52. We'll not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. The trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Dr. Carter was hitting on that in Sunday school an hour ago. Folks, one of these days, the trumpet's going to sound. And it'll be a globe encircling sound that nobody, I mean, it's going to be heard around the world. And when that horn sounds, everything is, I mean, we're going to be out of here for one thing. We're born again. We are up, up, up and away. But some folks are going to get left behind. And we need to understand that. And so he comes down to the end of there and he says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding. He wants us to live the victory. Just live, live, live. The Lord gives us victory. And now we need to live that and make it live wherever that we are. You know, we can be a Christian when we're at church. We can be a Christian when we're at McDonald's. We can be a Christian whenever we're at Longhorn or wherever you go to eat later today. We can be a Christian and serve the Lord and be a light even in the darkness of our world. This is my fourth trip to Florida this winter. I learned after a few years, those guys in Michigan don't need me in the wintertime. And you folks in Florida are the ones that need me. So I book as many Sundays, and I mean, I fly down. I was here down in Dunellen last Sunday, flew in on Saturday, preached three times, and flew out Monday morning and went back home, and I'm headed back again tomorrow, headed back home. But now, you know, just step by step and day by day, all over the place, you and I have the wonderful privilege, wherever that we are, we have the wonderful privilege of being a roving ambassador and serving the Lord and letting our profile show forth like a bright shining light. And we can do that. We can do that. I look around this audience this morning and I've met some of you. There's a few of you that I've known through the years. Some of you I just met this morning. But there's a bunch of you that I don't know you yet. If you come by, I'll shake your hand in a little bit. But I want to tell you something. It'd be worth my trip to Florida. It'd be worth the trip if even one person said, I heard what you had to say, and I do believe it, and I receive it, and I'm going to claim Christ as my Savior. Amen. And I'm just wondering, is there somebody this morning, and I'm not going to embarrass you at all, but I do want you to listen to me carefully. When Jesus died on the cross, and we celebrate that on Palm Sunday, we celebrate it all the time, but again, like Pastor said, it's one of those special days. When he died on the cross, he had me and you in mind. Made it possible for somebody like me and somebody like you to have forgiveness, not have to go to hell when you die, and also to impact your life while you live after he saves you. And I'm going to ask you this morning, if you don't have that settled, in just a moment, we're going to stand up. There'll be some music. And whenever we stand up, I'm going to pray a brief prayer, word it for you, and I'm going to ask you to pray with me and receive the Savior this morning. God's touched your heart. Today's a good time to do it. And I'm going to ask you if you would. Would you stand up with me? We'll bow our heads to pray. Our heads are bowed and eyes closed. There'll be folks here at the altar to help. With our heads bowed and eyes closed, dear Lord, I'm going to ask you to just work in our midst today. Lord, if there are folks here that are not saved, I ask you, dear Lord, to touch them right now and help them to know that they need to be saved. And Lord, if there are others who need to come and join Landmark Baptist Church, I pray that they will do so today. And maybe others of us who just need to find our way to the altar for whatever reason, I pray that it'll happen. While our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, and before I finish praying, if you're one of those folks who may not yet be saved, I'm going to ask you to pray something like this and mean it. It's not enough to repeat the words after me. You need to pray this prayer genuinely to God and mean it from your heart. But something like this. Just say, Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. I acknowledge that. And I know I cannot help myself eternally. I need a Savior. I believe what this man has said, that Jesus died on the cross and arose from the grave to pay my sin debt and to purchase salvation for me. And right now, I'm going to trust him, put my faith in him. I'm going to risk my eternity by trusting Jesus and receive him as my Savior. Thank you, dear Lord, for saving my soul. I claim that salvation right now in Jesus' name. And while our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, Pastor Parsons and I, maybe being the only ones looking around, we'll not embarrass you at all, but we would so love to know if you prayed that just now and you really meant it from the depths of your heart. For just a second, heads are bowed, eyes are closed, but would you slip your hand up to say, I prayed with you and I really, really needed to do that and I meant it when I prayed. I meant it sincerely. Slip your hand up for me to see it, Pastor to see it. And right back down, anywhere in the building. If there are other needs, if there are other needs in your life, I want you to listen to what the Lord's prompting you about now. If you need to come and join today, if you need to get baptized, come make arrangements for that. Or if you just need to come to this altar for some real special needs. Lord, I pray help folks to do right now what they'll be glad they've done when eternity begins. And I'll thank you in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Just as
you're coming, find your way. Find your way and do it now. We'll wait for you. God bless you. Come on.
But that
do what the Lord has prompted you to do.
Put it off.
Heads are bowed and eyes are closed this morning. If you're here and you don't know Christ as Savior, well, why don't you step out? This is an old-fashioned invitation for you to step out and come to the front. We'll take a Bible and we'll show you from the Bible how you can know for sure that heaven will be your home, that the gift of eternal life can be yours because of what Jesus did. The finished work of Jesus Christ can take the place of your sin. You can be saved and on your way to heaven. If you want to do that today, why don't you step out and come forward as Brother Bert sings.
Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears.
Folks have come to join the church this morning, and maybe you're here and you've been putting it off, and you think about that really the message today is about how to live in victory. Well, one of the greatest ways to live in victory is to step out after you have faith, to step out and make an obedient step toward Jesus Christ, being baptized and joining His church. Well, if you've never stepped out in faith and done that, well, what a wonderful way to have victory today in your own life and say, I'm going to join this church. This is my church. I attend. I come here. I'm going to join the church through baptism this morning. There's room for you. Why don't you step out and come? We'll take your hand, talk to you about it this morning. But why don't you live that victory life that was preached this morning? Brother Bert, why don't you sing one more?
Just as I am, poor wretched blind, sight riches healing of the mind, yea, all I need in thee to find, O Lamb of God, I come.
Hope you did what God asked you to do. We're going to let everybody be seated. We have things to share with you.